We're still in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. We're holding by the words Soimech Noiflim V'roifei Choylim U'mati Rasurim. We are praising the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he is Soimech Noiflim, meaning he supports those who are falling. V'roifei Choylim, he heals the sick. U'mati Rasurim, and he releases the confined. Umikayim emunoso ilishene ofar. And he maintains his faith to those asleep in the dust. In other words, Tchias HaMeisim. Hashem promised to resurrect the dead. Those asleep in the dust is a reference to those who are no longer alive. And Hashem maintains his faith that he will be Mechayim Meisim. So that's the simple understanding of these words. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that these different kindnesses of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, of Samech Noiflim, V'Rofei Choylim, V'Mati Rasurim, V'Mekayim HaMenosei L'Shayne Ofar, also apply to different situations of Ruchnius, different situations in spirituality. There is a person that is called a Noifel. He's called a falling person. As we know, when it comes to the service of Hashem, a person needs to be a hoilech. A yid needs to be someone who is growing. If a yid becomes complacent, and a yid decides that their current level of spirituality is sufficient, and the yid does not seek to grow, then the person will automatically become a noifel. A person will fall. The mashal that is given by the modern day Balei Musar is that this world is similar to a downward escalator. If you stand still, you're going down. The only way to continue going upwards is to go against the flow. So when a yid does decide that, you know what, I'm pretty satisfied with my level of ruchnius, and I think I can stay where I am, in which case he does become a noifel, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does send the person signs to support his fall, to send the person signs that you should not be complacent, you shouldn't be satisfied with your state. You should be seeking to grow, to continuously grow in your Yiddishkeit. And that is the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he has soimech noiflim. He supports those who are falling. Someone who does not heed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's signs, and the person continues to fall, the person will eventually do averus. Person will end up transgressing Hashem's will, definitely falling from the level he previously was on, at which point the person becomes spiritually sick. The person becomes a chayl. Despite the fact that the person is ailing on the limbs, correspond, as we know, there are 248 mitzvahs asay that correspond to the 248 limbs, and there are 365 lois asay, prohibitive mitzvahs, that correspond to 365 sinews. And the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that each limb corresponds to a certain mitzvah. When a person is lax in a certain mitzvah, so that limb will suffer. So the person becomes not only spiritually sick, but physically sick. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a roifei choylim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sends signs to the person that the person should do tshuva. And the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts tshuva. And the person is healed. Pasuk says, Erpa Mishuvasam. Tshuva is called a refuah, because it heals our spiritual sicknesses. And in turn, as a result, our physical sicknesses that correspond to those spiritual sicknesses are also healed. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is a refuah chayla. But if that person doesn't heed those signs either, and the person doesn't do tshuva, at that point the person becomes addicted to a certain way of life. He becomes attached to the Yetzer Hara. The person becomes attached to a bad habit to the point that they can't release themselves from this bad habit or this addiction. They become asur. They become shackled. They become confined to this conduct because they didn't heed the Ribbono Shel Olam's signs. And then tshuva is much more difficult. Nevertheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam is matir asurim. There are opportune times that a person can release themselves from the shackles of the Yetzer Hara. This is one of the reasons we say Kol Nidre right before Yom Kippur, to release these different types of conduct that have become some type of nether. So before Yom Kippur, which is an opportune time where a person can release themselves, that is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is matir asurim. But then there are people that don't heed those signs either, and don't take advantage of those opportunities either. Such people become yishenei avar. Since these people are never aroused to do tshuva, they're never aroused to take action and to do what's right, people who are not aroused are asleep. And they're yishenei avar. They're sleeping in the dust. They're sleeping in the earth. But there's one thing about sometimes even the lowliest yid, and that is that every yid, no matter the kal shebekalim, the lowest of the low, every yid has a nekuda pnimius. Every yid has the pintle yid. That is, it is the essence of a yid, that a yid believes that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And you'll take the yid that seems most distant from Yiddishkeit, and you'll ask him if he believes that there is a God, and he'll say, of course he believes. And sometimes they'll even be moiser nefesh. They'll sacrifice their lives before they deny Hashem's existence. Meaning they maintain the amunah. Even the Yishenei Ofar have Amunah. Umekayim Emunasoi L'Yishenei Ofar. The Ribbono Shel Olam maintains his Amunah even in those that are Yishenei Ofar. Even in those people that are asleep in the Ofar. Meaning somebody's beyond a Noifil, beyond a Chaylim, beyond an Asur. He's Yishenei Ofar. Nevertheless, Mekayim Emunasoi. The Ribbono Shel Olam is still maintains his emunah. The emunah that lies sometimes very deep within the heart of every yid. Sefer Ian Tefillah, he explains the Samech Neufel and Verefei Choydim and Matir Asurim based on the Marsha that we talked about in the previous Shurim. The Marsha says that the reason why Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, is mentioned in the Bracha of Gevurais, Why is it mentioned in the bracha of Gevura of that this is supposed to describe Hashem's might, Hashem's strength? And the Maharsha explains because we're trying to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might is very different than the might of a person of flesh and blood. The might of a human being is recognized by how many people he can kill, by how many living people he can put to death. Whereas the might of the Rabbeinu Shalom is exactly the opposite. Is how many is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is able to be mechayim meis, the Rabbeinu Shalom is able to bring the dead back to life. And the Iyun Tefillah explains that this follows Semech Liv Levrei Vechay the Mamatir Asurim follows with that theme that a gibor of flesh and blood tries to make as many people fall. That's not the might of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom's might is Semech Liv. The Rabbeinu Shalom supports those that are falling. The might of a human being is trying to make as many people sick as they can. The might of the Rabbeinu Shalom is Reifei Chayv. The might of a human being, perhaps, is to imprison as many people as they can. The Rabbeinu Shalom is Matir Asurim. The Rabbeinu Shalom releases the imprisoned, the confined. So this is all following this theme of the Maharsha, that the might of the Rabbeinu Shalom is exactly opposite the might of a human being. And I'd like to suggest that perhaps, as we mentioned also a couple of shiurim ago, that in this bracha, we're talking about all different types of tchias ha-mesim. And since Chazal tell us that there are four people that are called mesim, right? There is a person who has no children is called a mes. A person, a metzora is called a mes. A suma, somebody who's blind, is called a mes. Which one did I forget? And then an ani, a pauper, a person who is poor, is also considered a mace. And then besides that, there's obviously the physical mace. And there's tchias ha-mesim in all those areas. The Rebbeinu Shalom revives all those different mesim. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives children to people who are barren. That's tchias ha-mesim. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives money to the impoverished. That's tchias ha-mesim. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives sight to the blind. That's also tchias ha-mesim. The Rebbeinu Shalom heals the metzora, which is also tchias ha-mesim. If they're mesim, then coming out of that situation is tchias ha-mesim. So it starts off with mechalkel chayim b'chesed. The Rebbeinu Shalom sustains life with kindness, meaning the Rebbeinu Shalom gives life to a brand new child. And by doing so, mechayim mesim. By doing so, he's resurrecting the life to these dead parents. So the first one talks about giving a child to parents that are barren through mechalkel chayim b'chesed, through Mishlam giving life. Then comes Seimech Neuflim, the Rabbeinu Shalom supports those who are fallen, which is the Ani, who needs support, who needs the Behechzakta boy. He needs to be supported. That's a reference to the Ani. Roifei Choylim is a reference to the Metzora. The Metzora is a Choyle. He needs to be healed. Matir Asurim, Hashem releases the confined, represents that Rabbeinu Shalom gives sight to the Suma. Rashi says in Parshas Vayetze that the reason why a suma is nachshav kemes. The reason why a suma is like a dead person is because he's kolui babayis. He's locked up in his house. He can't go anywhere. So when the suma has eyesight, he's able to go out of his house. It's matir asurim. And the only one left is the actual physical dead person. Then comes the Tchias HaMesim that Hashem actually fulfills his trust to those who are lying in the dust. So this paragraph encompasses all types of Tchias HaMesim. The bracha continues. Micha moicha ba'al gevurois umidoy malach. Who is like you, master of mighty deeds? And who is comparable to you? Micha moicha ba'al gevurois umidoy malach. The Eitz Yosef explains that the truth is that we do find throughout Chazal, throughout history, that tzaddikim were mechaye meisim. The tzaddikim, Elisha, Eliyahu, they were able to resurrect the dead. So how can we say, how can we say, we're in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, we're going to say, who is like you? What do you mean? Eliyahu, Elisha, so on and so forth. All the other tzaddikim are able to be mechayim meisim. The answer is, there are two answers. Number one, with whose kayach were they mechayim meisim? They don't have their own kayach. They're only mechayim meisim with the kayach of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. We find in the Gemara by Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, right? The Boya Rachman, they asked for Rachman from the Rabbeinu Shlomo and they were able to resurrect the dead. But it all comes from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. They tell the story of the scientist that said to Hashem, God, you know, we really don't need you anymore. We can do everything on our own already. We can even create human beings. So Hashem says to him, okay, let me see. So the scientist bends down and takes a glob of earth. Hashem says, get your own earth. What kayach are they using? They're only using the Rabbeinu Shlomo's kayach. So who is the Baal Gevurais? The Baal Gevurais, the master of this might, is the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Micha Moicha, of course, tzaddikim were able to be Mechaya Mason. But who is the Baal Gevurais? Who is the owner of this Gevura? It all comes back to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Secondly, anybody that a tzaddik was Mechaya Mason, anybody that a tzaddik brought back to life eventually died. But when the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to be Mechayim Meisim, that will be Mechayim Meisim forever. That's Umidai Melach. No one who is comparable to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Nobody's comparable to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Even those that were Mechayim Meisim are not comparable to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. There's another kavana here in Micha Moicha Baal Gevurois Umidai Melach. There's a Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara talks about the parsha of Korach. Korach complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Ha'ida Kulam Kedoshim, V'Soicham Hashem, the entire assembly, they're all holy, Hashem is within them, Madu Atisnas V'Akal Hashem, why are you elevating yourself over the congregation of Hashem? The Pasuk says, V'Yishma Moshe V'Yipol Alpanov, Moshe heard and he fell on his face. Says the Gemara, Ma'ashmu Hashama, what did he hear that made him fall on his face? Says the Gemara, Shama shechashdu me'eshes ish. He heard that they suspected him of an eshes ish. Now, literal understanding of that means that they suspected him of committing adultery, which cannot be pshat, because, I mean, fools they weren't. To think that Moshe Rabbeinu committed adultery is ridiculous. And where do you find that in the pasuk? So the Hedik Islam Sefer says an unbelievable pshat. He says that there are two types of tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim that are mekablim, that are recipients from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. First, I'm going to give you over what the Chassam Sefer says, and then I'll try to help us understand what he's saying. But these are his words. There are tzaddikim that are mekablim from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, meaning they're recipients from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's the lower level of a tzaddik. And then there are tzaddikim that are mashpiyim to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Kivyachol, tzaddikim that give to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. As it says in the pasuk, tnu oiz le'lekim, give strength to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We'll soon explain how that's possible. So there are two tzaddikim. The higher level of tzaddikim is the tzaddikim that are mashpia to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Now says the Chassam Sofer, now we know that we have a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam like husband and wife. Whole Shir Ashirim is built on this loving relationship that we have with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The question is, who is the husband, who is the wife? Now, we know that in a husband and wife relationship, the husband is the mashpia, and the wife is the mekabel. Right? The wife is the zohar, is mashpia, and the nekeva is a mekabel. Female is a mekabel. So if that's the case, so in the lower level of tzaddikim, where the tzaddik is the mekabel, the tzaddik is the recipient from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the chasm, and is the husband, kibiyachol, and the tzaddik is the kala. But in the higher level, it's the other way around. If the tzaddik is mashpia to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then the tzaddik is the chasm, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the kala. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is a Gemara Masechtas Mayit Kod. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you the Lashon of the Gemara. Tezayin Amud Beis, Masechtas Mayit Kod. Amr Rabbi Shmuel Manachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yonis, and Maidach Sibn David Ben Yishai, and HaGever, Hukam Oil. Says the Gemara, Moishel, Amr Lekei Yisrael, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, Moishel Ba'odom Tzadik, Moishel Giras Alekim. What is my kamar? What is the pasuk saying? Omar Alekei Yisrael. Hashem says, "Ani Moishel Ba'adam. I rule over man." This is what Hashem says. "Mi Moishel Bi. Who rules over me?" Says Hashem. Tzadik. The tzadik rules over me. Sha'ani Goizer Gzeira. I can make a decree. Umevatel. And the tzadik can annul the decree. So me, Moshe, be who rules over me, says the Moshe, I'm tzaddik. Says the Chassam Sofer, how can it be? How can it be that Hashem can make a gzeira? Hashem, the Rebbeinu Dal Makula, makes a decree, and the tzaddik even battle it. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's these types of tzaddikim that are mashpiyim to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So they are like the husband, right? As we said, they're like the husband of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When a wife makes a neder, when a wife makes a vow, the husband can be mevatel. The husband can be made for the neder. That, so such a tzaddik has the ability to nullify Hashem's decrees. Only such a tzaddik. Because he is kevyachol like the husband of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's why some Sefer explains the Gemara in Bava Basra, Divine Dalit, says Rabbi Baruch Chana was walking in the desert and he heard a heavenly voice saying, Oy li shenishbati, woe is to me that I took an oath. Which is the oath of sending Eden into Golos. Akshav shenishbati, mi meferli. Now that I have taken an oath, who is going to annul it for me? And the Gemara there says that the Rabbanan had tainus on Rabbi Baruch Chana. Rabbi Baruch Chana should have said, Ani mefer, I'm annulling it. And he didn't say that. But what is what's pshat? Hashem made a shua? How can anybody annul it? The answer is, the type of tzaddik that kviyachol, the baal of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, somebody who's mashpia to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, such a tzaddik can annul Hashem's decrees. Like a husband can annul a wife's nedara. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu was, when it came to the eagle, and it came to the Meraglim, and it came to the Misoinonim, all the different times in the Midbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu was our champion, and the Rabbeinu Shloilam wanted to destroy us, Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, no way, it's not happening. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on the level of being a mashpia to the Rabbeinu Shloilam. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's why we find in the Pasuk, Zois HaBrocha, Sheberach Moshe, Ish Hu Elokim. Do you know what Ish Elokim means? The husband of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, not the way we interpret it, a godly person. Ish Hu Elokim means the husband of the Rabbeinu Shloilam. That's the level Moshe Rabbeinu was on. Only a Chasam Sofer could say such a thing and not be put into Chayrim. Yeshua like him. But now, says the Chasam Sofer, when Korach and his Eda saw that when it came to the Meraglim, all the Meraglim themselves died. And it was decreed on Bnei Yisrael that they had to be in the Midbar for 40 years. Yes, Moshe took away the decree of annihilation of the whole of Klal Yisrael, but he wasn't able to annul the whole decree. So they were telling Moshe, "You're not an Ishmaelikim. You're an Ashes Ish. You're a wife of the Rabbeinu Shloilam. You're just like one of us." You're a Mekabel just like any one of us. To be a tzaddik, that's a Mekabel? That's no big deal. Then you're like, Madua Tesnasu. If you're an Ishoelikim, I understand why you should be the leader. But if you're just an Ashes Ish, you're just the Kaviyachal, the wife of the Rabbi Yishlam, then you're just like one of us. Says Rashi, Moshe fell on his face because here he couldn't annul the decree. The reason why he couldn't annul this decree on Korach v'Adosai is because they didn't believe in his power. They were undermining his power of Ishalekim. So here he couldn't do anything. Nisrashlu Yadav, he had to throw in the towel. Now, what does it mean to be a mekabel from the Rabbi Yishleilam, to be a recipient from the Rabbi Yishleilam, or to be a mashpia to the Rabbi Yishleilam? So I was asked on the way into the shir, what is the difference between chesed and rachamim? Right? We say mechalkel chaim, chesed, mechaim mason, verachamim, rachamim. Really, these two terms are used usually together, sometimes separately. Chesed is kindness, rachamim is compassion. What's the difference? So the Siddur Shel Shabbos, which is the Ber Maim Chaim, he explains, based on a pasuk in Iyuv. There's a pasuk in Iyuv that says, Mi higdiman yu ha-shalim. Hashem, Kiviyachol is saying, who has ever preceded me, mi higdimani, that I should have to reward them? And the Medrash on this pasuk explains what is the Ribbono Shel Olam saying. And the Medrash says that Hashem is saying, "Mi osa lefanai mezuzah ad shenasati lebayis." Did anybody ever put up a mezuzah before I gave them a house? Me. Kaya mitzvahs mila koydim shenasati leben. Did anybody ever observe the mitzvah of mila before I gave them a son? And then the list goes on and on. So Hashem says, whoever preceded me, that I should have to reward them. I always gave them the wherewithal to be able to become the mitzvahs. That's what the taina that Hashem has. So Siddur Hashem says, what does the Rebbeinu Shalom want from us? We physically can't perform the mitzvah before he gives us the wherewithal. So what is his taina? And Siddur Shabbos explains, we have two types of people. You have a person builds a house and says, oh, now that I have a house, I have a chi of a mezuzah. I got to put up a mezuzah. I have to put up a makkah. I should really take in guests and be mekayem hachnasa sorachim. I have a large house. Somebody gets married. And it has a son. Oh, so now that we have a son, we should be mekayem the mitzvah of mila. Pidin haben. So on and so forth. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is an afterthought. After he has the house, oh, okay, now I got to put up a mezuzah. But then there's another type of person that says, you know, I'd really love to be mekayem the mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah of makkah, the mitzvah of hachnasas sorachim, but I don't have a house to do so. So I'm going to build a house in order to be mekayem the mitzvahs. I want to be mekayem the mitzvah of pruvu. I want to be mekayem the mitzvah of milah. So I'm going to get married in order to fulfill those mitzvahs. So instead of the Ribbono Shel Olam being an afterthought, the Ribbono Shel Olam was the whole motive here. So that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's taina. Mi ikdimani, whoever preceded me, mashal, that I should have to reward them. I was only an afterthought. The way a yid needs to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam is that the Ribbono Shel Olam needs to be the first thought. And everything else needs to follow. So it's the person who serves Hashem as an afterthought, meaning once the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me the gift that I have, so now I have to perform his will, so I'm a recipient from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the one who says, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. I want to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. I want to be Mekayim Mak. I want to do Hachnasas Orachim. I just don't have the wherewithal. I'm being mashpia to the Ribbono Shel Olam, my iratzon. I'm giving the Ribbono Shel Olam my desire to fulfill his mitzvahs. The Ribbono Shel Olam then reciprocates with the house, or with the marriage, or with the son. So I was mashpia to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam reciprocated. That second type of tzaddik is the tzaddik that is called the Isha Alekim. Perhaps not. And the Siddur Shabbos explains that that's the difference between chesed and rachamim. Chesed, or let's start with rachamim. Rachamim is compassion, meaning the poor person came to me and he told me his sob story and I feel terrible for him. Once my compassion was aroused, I reciprocate to the poor person. Similarly, I have the house, and now I realize that I have to perform the mitzvah. Something else aroused me to act. That's rachamim. Chesed is someone who seeks kindness. Seeks before Avraham Avinu was the Isha Chesed. Why? Because he wasn't waiting for guests to come to his house and ask, do I need a place to sleep? He went out looking to perform chesed. That's chesed. And that's why somebody who does beyond the letter of the law, meaning more than the Ribbono Shel Olam asks of them, is called a chassid. Because the person is doing chesed. He's doing more than what is required. I'm doing something that is not being asked of me. Now the Moranayim says that a tzaddik is called me. The word me, mem yud, represents a tzaddik for some Kabbalistic reason. It has to do with the number 50. Mem yud is 50. Kol is also called, is also the tzaddik. Yichud b'shmayim v'oretz. But me is called the tzaddik. And according to this, we understand now the Gemara Moed Katan very well, right? Me, Moed shall be tzaddik, right? Me rules over me, the tzaddik, right? In Bava Basra, me meferly, the me could be mefer for me. And the same in Eiv, me, Higdimani Vashal, is not a question. It's a statement. Who, not who preceded me that I should have to repay them, me, the tzaddik, that is a mashpia, is called me, such a tzaddik is higdimani. Such a tzaddik preceded me, and that's why I should reward me, bona lefonai bias. Right? The tzaddik was a me. So according to this, we can now understand what we're saying here. And now the Eitz Yosef had a kasha. How can we say Micha Moicha, Baal Gevurois, and we die Malach? When we tzaddikim, we find that they were Mechai Mason. That's exactly what we're saying. Me, Micha Moicha, Baal Gevurois. A tzaddik is like you, Baal Gevurois. Umi die Malach. The tzaddik is similar to you, that he has these ability, because he is an Isha like him. Well, let's not forget, obviously, that all that Kayach comes, obviously, from the Rebbein Shalom, who is the Baal Gevurois. But nevertheless, it is our avoda to be the me, the person who is on this level of higdimani v'ashalem, that we should, the thought of the Rebbeinu Shlalem should precede everything that we do. And that's where we're approaching Kabbalah Satoira. That's what Nasa V'Nishma is. Before we even hear what the Rebbeinu Shlalem wants of us, we're saying Nasa, we want to do your will. Now, Nishma, now let's find out how we can do it. But we want to be on that level of Isha Elikim. And Epshel help from that schus, we should be able to mevatel all the Gzeiros Rois and Klal Yisrael. We should be Zeicha Bekorev, to be made for the Shua of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and to be Zeicha to be as Mashiach, to the Kenev of Meir,